Good morning. All right. No, it's all you.
Caught me talking back there. Caught me talking. Marcus, can you give me a voice? I mean, maybe you don't want to hear me today, but Mr. Mike. Well, it's nice to see everybody today. Yeah. Well, we're going to get started. And as you can tell, we have the candles up here. And this day, December 1st, starts the start of Advent. And so we're going to be covering that over the course of up until December, Christmas. And we'll be going through that. But also want to remind you, we're going to share in our dinner together on the 8th of December, so next Sunday. So bring a cover dish with food in it, please. And we'll share a meal together and all that. Keep in mind the connection cards. You should have one at your seat. If you have a prayer request or a praise report, fill those out and throw them in the offering plate when that passes here in just a little bit. We definitely want to pray for you, and definitely want to pray with you as well. And the prayer requests are also on the back of your bulletin. Keep those in mind. Let's pray for those that are in need. And speaking of, we're going to start this card around. And Tom Green hasn't been with us for a number of Sundays, and so if you would just jot down your name or something like that. It says, "I'm praying that you sense God's presence today," and there's a nice message on the front. So I'll start that. And in fact, Tracy, you can start, and we'll start that around. And if you'll jot your name down, we're going to get that in the mail to Tom and let him know that we've been thinking about him and praying for him as well. So I think that covers everything. So if you guys will stand to your feet with me, we're going to get started, and we're going to sing Open Up the Heavens. You want to light that candle? You guys want to light that candle now? And while Carla and Artie are going up there, they're going to light this week's candle, which is the purple candle only. While they're lighting that purple candle, I want to share with you real quick. The first candle, which is purple, symbolizes hope. It sometimes is called the prophecy candle in remembrance of the prophets, especially Isaiah, who foretold the birth of Christ. It represents the expectation felt in anticipation of the coming Messiah.
Artie noticed his tambourine on the ground.
Put it where I stand.
We waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. Wanna see you open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our prayer. Your presence in this place, your glory on our face, we're looking to the sky. Descending like a cloud, you're standing with us now. Lord, unveil our eyes. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens. We want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our prayer. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates. A mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our prayer. Show us your glory, show us your power, show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory, show us your power, show us your glory, Lord.
We want to see you. We want to see you. Open up the heavens. We want to see you open up the floodgates, a mighty river.
river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Amen. Let's move into our scripture, which comes out of Romans 15:13. Read with me. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, let's keep singing as we go into My Hope is Built.
Trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. Come with trumpet sound, all that have been in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground sinking sand. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank you so much for our time together. And we pray that as we prepare to give from our hearts, Father, we just pray that all will go to further in your kingdom and just spreading the word, Father, as you've called us all to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to move into our prayer song, so if you wouldn't mind standing with me once again as we sing, I Have This Hope.
Questions go. Was there purpose for the pain? Did I cry these tears in vain? I don't want to live in fear. I want to trust that you are near. Trust your grace can be seen in both triumph and tragedy. I have this hope in the depth of my soul. In the flood or the fire, you're with me and you won't let go. But sometimes our faith feels thin, like the night will never end. Will you catch every tear? Or will you just leave me here? I have this hope in the depth of my soul. In the flood or the fire, you're with me and you won't let go. Yes, I have this hope in the depth of my soul. Whatever happens, I will not be afraid. 'Cause you are closer than this breath that I take. You calm the storm when I hear you call my name. I still believe that one day I'll see your face. I have this.
the flood or the fire, you're with me. I have this hope in the depth of my soul. In the flood or the fire, you're with me and you won't let go. In the flood or the fire, you're with me and you won't let go. In the flood or the fire, you're with me and you won't let go.
All right, Father, we thank you so much for your faithfulness, Father. Just like we sang, in the flood or the fire, Father, no matter what we face, you are there. And so, Father, we can't thank you enough for your faithfulness and your love and the grace that is covered, that we are covered by. So, Father, as we continue to move forward in our service, Father, as we prepare to get into your word, we just pray that you will continue to move and work within our hearts and minds today, Father, doing a transforming work within us, Father, that will only draw us closer to you. And so, Father, as we kick off the Advent season, as we approach Christmas, and Father, we just pray that you will open our eyes and remind us what the reason is for the season. And so, Father, we just thank you so much for your presence and your love and your faithfulness, Father. And so we just pray that you will continue to move and work. Father, remember those that aren't here. Rob and Sheila are traveling. They're in Tennessee. Father, we have others that aren't with us. Father, for whatever reason, Father, be with them. Pour out a special blessing on them today, Father. And as we remember those that are on our prayer requests, Father, we just thank you for them and just pray that you will move and work in their lives as well. So, Father, we can't forget the praises, Father, because it is always great to lift up our praises and just share in how God is working in our lives. And so, Father, we just thank you for your faithfulness there. And we just pray that you will continue to move and work. And may we never fail to honor and glorify you in all that is done and accomplished in the powerful name of Jesus. We ask all of this. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and take a seat. Can you guys hear me okay? I don't feel like...
No, you're not on.
I don't feel like I'm out there. Yeah. Yes, Phil. It's nice to see... Nice to see you, Phil. All right. Well, let's keep moving. Advent is a season where we stand right in the middle of two realities. And what I mean by that is Advent means arrival or coming. Okay? Arrival or coming. And as we enter into Advent seasons, we're reminded that there is an arrival. Okay? There is an arrival. There was a coming that has already happened, which was baby Jesus, okay, the birth of Christ. But as Christians, we look back to what has already happened, okay? We look back to what has already happened, but we also look forward to what will happen, okay? There was an arrival that already happened, the birth of our Savior. And there is a arrival that is coming that will happen in the second coming of Christ. And so we are people who are filled with longing and expectation. And so we look back in remembrance and we look forward and with longing and expectation. And so if you were anything like me as a young boy, during this time of season, for most kids, we can look with longing and expectation and anticipation for the Christmas presents as they begin to pile up underneath the Christmas tree. And so Advent for me, to be perfectly honest, as a child, meant nothing. It meant nothing because I didn't understand it. And in fact, I'm not even sure I heard the word Advent when I was a young kid. And so mixed with not knowing even what Advent was and not even being exposed to it, if you will, it meant nothing to me. But as Christmas approached and the Christmas tree went up and presents began to fill the space underneath the tree, excitement grew. Excitement grew. Because I was like, ooh, could that be for me? If it is for me, what is it? Or it could even go, that's for my sister. What could that be? Maybe I could use it too. Who knows? But excitement and anticipation begins to well up inside you. Okay? And so on Christmas Eve, we could open one gift. And we also kind of extended that to our kids as well. Many Christmases over the years, you know, we're like, oh, okay, you can open one Christmas present. And so I remember doing that. I've shared that I grew up with a lot of brothers and sisters. And so my dad didn't work because of a work injury. And so money wasn't very plentiful in my house. And so you really learn to appreciate the things that you got, even though they may not have been that nice, or, you know, your best friend got something that was so much cooler than you. You still learn to appreciate what you got because, well, that's just it. That's what you got. But so the little tease gift, if you will, you got on Christmas Eve, it was a gift that you hope would set the stage and maybe even prayed for, you know, and longed for the feast of gifts that you may get the following day. And so maybe you can identify with putting your hopes into something like that, even maybe as a kid. Who knows? Maybe even as an adult. Maybe you still anticipate that day of grabbing that Christmas present and just ripping it open and seeing what you've got and what you can do with it. Maybe even who you can share it with. But that longing and waiting and hoping, anticipation, and what will it be? What will it be? Only to be at the end, maybe disappointed, or maybe let down. Maybe it wasn't what you thought it might be, you know. And I said that, you know, you learned to appreciate because, you know, even as a poor boy, you know, maybe I didn't get what I wanted, but I learned to appreciate what I did get because it's all I got. And so maybe as a child you experienced the letdown. Maybe you didn't get the little pony you prayed for or the bicycle you wanted. And so sometimes or even often we get let down. We're like, oh, this is nice, but not quite what I wanted. And so so it's the idea about a misplaced hope, you know, and what we put our hope in. You've done it. I've done it, I'm sure. You know, we all do it. And so there are things and people and situations that we are placing our hopes in. We're placing our hopes in. And ultimately, more than likely, will disappoint us. Because we can probably even think back over the course of our lives and how we put our hope or our trust in somebody only to be let down by them. Only to be let down by them. And that happens. It happens. It's difficult sometimes, but we end up at the end of the day disappointed because we have placed our hope in somebody else. And so for some of us, we're putting our hopes in people, maybe a person, an individual person, maybe our job or money. And we're putting putting things like success. Maybe we're putting our hopes in success, maybe climbing the corporate ladder. And so we're placing our hopes in many different areas, many different areas. And think about where we're placing our hopes. If you think about the word hope, it's a word that is part of our daily dictionary. It really is. It's a part of our daily dictionary or vocabulary. We use it all the time. We hope it stops raining. We hope the in-laws leave soon. We hope the holiday pounds just shed off. We hope we don't overspend on the Christmas season. We hope the kids adjust as they're starting their new school year. We hope, we hope, we hope. We use it all the time. We use it all the time. In scriptures, the word is used 200 times. So in scripture, the word hope is used 200 times. In the scriptures, as you begin to pull out and see how the word hope is used throughout the Bible, it brings on a whole new perspective. It brings on a whole new perspective. It can be summarized around something like, hope means a confident expectation in the future. A confident expectation in the future. It means a contagious enthusiasm for what will come. For what will come. Because I think if we went back to the beginning where news began to spread about the birth of Jesus, many of them were excited in anticipating the birth of this Savior. And then as Jesus' ministry began and word began to spread, you see that people began to flock to Jesus. And so they retch for him in the one story where the lady retched for Jesus and she touched the hem of his garment. And so she had a hope that if she could just touch Jesus, that she would be healed. And so the hope began to grow and grow. And so it means a contagious enthusiasm for what will come. What will come. The idea of hope is that we're looking forward to the future with enthusiasm and confidence and expectation. And I say expectation because we're going to get into this a little further, but if we look to the future with enthusiasm, why? Why should we do that? With confidence, again, why should we? And then expectation. What exactly are we expecting? Now, I'm going to jump ahead just a little bit here, but enthusiasm for what will come, okay? Enthusiasm. I'm excited. I'm excited. Why? Because my Bible tells me that in Scripture, Christ is coming back again. I'm excited. You should be excited. Confidence. I am confident because of what God put in those scriptures. God breathed scriptures. I am confident that what is in those scriptures is true. And so I'm excited that Christ is going to return, and I'm confident that Christ is going to return. Why? Because my God says so. And so I expect God to fulfill what he has promised. And so I am looking forward to the future in expectation. Because my God can't lie. And so he will fulfill the promise that he has given us. And so I expect him to fulfill that promise, to come back and take me home. When that day will come, who knows? But I am waiting and expecting. That there is a blessing on the other end of this. Hope is a good thing. Hope is a good thing. And so let's take a look at Romans chapter 15. So if you'll break your Bible open. Chapter 15, verse 13 specifically. Okay? Paul is laying out the promises given to the Jews and the Gentiles. Okay? I wasn't even going to turn there, but I'm sorry. Yeah, let's see. Romans chapter 15. Hang on, let me get you a page here. Thank you. Okay, so let me give you a quick rundown here real quick. Okay, in chapter 15, more specifically verse 13, that's where we're going to really hang out. But so as you're turning there, okay, the book of Romans, Paul writes the book of Romans. This is the letter to the Romans. Okay, it's his crown jewel. It's a wonderful letter. It really is. It's good. In the book of Romans, Paul outlines through chapters 1 through 11, okay, 1 through 11, a beautiful bedrock of theology, okay? And so that's what Paul does in chapters 1 through 11, okay? And he begins to talk about all of us being condemned before the Lord, but this is good and gracious God that has made a way for us. And so God has made a way for us, for those of us that are sinners, which is all of us. But praise God, he made a way. Amen. And he talks about the promises given to Abraham. In chapter 5, he talks about justification. In chapter 6 and 7, he talks about sanctification. And in chapter 8, glorification. Then he talks about God calling people unto himself. He talks about God calling people unto himself. He's just laying out the beautiful truth in our salvation is what he's doing. In chapter 12, he turns and talks about how these truths aren't just some dusty idea he pulled off of the shelf. He didn't just pull us out of thin air. But they actually work themselves out in our daily lives. They work themselves out in our daily lives. He's going to do that in chapters 12, 13, 14, 15. And in 16, he's going to close the letter with some closing remarks and personal greetings. And at the end of chapter 15 and verse 13, Paul's laying out the promises given to the Jews and the Gentiles. He basically ends the letter in verse 13 of chapter 15. He has laid out a compelling theology of all God has done for us in Christ Jesus. Then he talks about how these truths work themselves out in daily lives. Tracy, you want to read 13 for us? Okay. And so it's almost as if Paul just kind of sets down the pen, takes a deep breath, and almost as if he writes out a short prayer or benediction right there. It's Paul's hope for his readers, hope for the church. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and all peace in believing. And so may the God of hope, may the God of hope. God is both the source of hope and the supplier of hope. It describes the essence of who he is. It's not just that God is giving hope, but it's a descriptive of the very nature and character of the God that you and I serve. In the book of Titus, the Apostle Paul also says, "And this is a God who cannot lie." He can't lie. Because if God was to lie, God would not be the God that he claims to be. Nothing would be the same. God cannot lie. And so if God says, then God does. Because he cannot lie. And so if God promises you that he's coming back for you, God's coming back. If God says, I will cast your sins as far as the east is to the west, that's where they go. Because God cannot lie. And so when he promises to do these things, he will do them. These promises he has placed over your life and spoken over you. Isn't that amazing? God has spoken these. Not only did he speak them to the generations before us, but when he spoke them, he was speaking it to the generations to come too. And so he spoke this over your life, your individual life. He spoke this over. It's amazing. It really is. And so these promises he has placed over your life and spoken over you, these things will happen. And Christ is coming back, just as God said he would. Our hope is not based on the probabilities, but on the promises. It is based on the promises of God. Our hope is not based on what might happen, but on what will happen. Paul says, may the God of hope, may the one who authors it, may the one who has sourced it, may the origin of hope, may this God of hope, may he do something, may he fill you. May he fill you. Fill you with what? What is God going to fill you with? Joy and peace, comfort, understanding, contentment, love, absolutely. May he fill you completely, not halfway, but may he fill you completely. He's praying the people of God would be filled with joy and with peace, and these two things work together in our lives. Joy and peace. Joy and peace. It's like twins that don't leave their sides of one another. It's a package deal. And so what Paul is praying and asking for the people of God is that you and I will be filled with the evidence of the work of the Spirit in our lives. That we can and will illustrate what we are filled with. Love and peace, patience, understanding. It all comes from God. And so that's what my prayer is for you today. May the God of love, peace, and joy fill you today. That you would be filled to the brim with peace and joy. So that the power of the Holy Spirit may abound in hope in you. Give you hope today for what's to come. The God of hope is longing for us to abound in hope. He's saying, I'm praying you will be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. I pray it produces in you a growing desire and hope in the Lord. And as you have a growing desire and abundance of hope in the Lord, it's producing in you more evidence of God at work in you, the fruits of the Spirit. The good news about the one who supplies hope is that he has an abundant supply of it. You know, we as parents may run out of money or reach our limit to what we can spend on our kids and the gifts that we give them. But one thing is true, our love runs deep. And I don't think as a parent you could run out of love and given your kids. And the same is true for our Father. It is abundant, never-ending supply. And God will not run out. He will not run out. That is great news for us, amen? Amen. And so the challenge that comes along with this, there's got to be a challenge, right? And so if you read the scriptures one or two times a week, then how about over the next 30 days for the month of December? They say it takes about that long or so to form a habit, if you will. And so that's why K-Love used to do, maybe they still do it. Yeah, the 30-day challenge. You know, get into Christian music and listen to only Christian music. And let it minister to you. Be habit forming. And so over the course of the next 30 days, if you read the scriptures, say, two or three times a week, increase it, double it. 3, 4, 5 times. Okay? If you're already in the Word daily, then read it twice a day. And so whatever you're doing, and so maybe you're not in the Word at all, start with a day or two. If you're in it 2 or 3 times a week, increase it 3 or 4 times a week. If you're in it daily, increase it to twice a day. And so over the course of the Advent season, which technically runs from the 1st to the 24th, but we'll just extend this a little bit until the end of December, increase your intake. Double the dose, if you will. And so whatever that looks like in your life, double it. If you could just turn and tune your heart just a little bit more and allow God to get in there and do a little more work. Because it happens. I mean, we can kind of use an illustration, if you will. Say we're remodeling a house or something and say one or two people are working on it. It'll get done, but it's going to take more time, right? But if we bring in our other skilled laborers, and next thing you know, we have 5 or 6 guys working on the project, how long is it going to take? Definitely going to be shorter. And so let God get in there and begin that work. Increase the intake of God's Word and allow Him to move and move and move. Remodel. Who knows? Maybe He'll gut you. I don't know. But hey, that sounded kind of rough, I guess, but now that I'm thinking that through, it is deer season. It is deer season. Yeah, anything that's in pure, He's going to rip it right out. Complete restoration. That's it, Ralph. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is let God do the work. Let God do the work that He desires to do within you. Let Him have your way. Let Him have His way. Because it's through the scriptures that the Holy Spirit reveals to you and me the God of hope and what He desires in our lives. And it becomes clearer and clearer. We gain a new perspective the more we get into God's Word and take it in. And so sometimes our perspective on things could be redirected to something different, or we could just be, our eyes could be open and say, you know what? Why was I wrong? And so sometimes God can give us a new perspective on things when we give it, turn it over and put it in God's hands. So God can do some pretty amazing things, guys. He can do some pretty amazing things in our lives and the lives of others. That He is. And so as we navigate the craziness of this season, the second thing I want to remind or encourage you to do is if you can identify some of the misplaced hopes that you have in your life. If you have put your hope in people, money, success, whatever it is in your life, whatever it is. I know, right? Woo. But if you've placed your hope in something else in your lives, allow God to redirect that hope that you have placed in areas in which it shouldn't be. And so that's another thing that'll take place by allowing God to come into your life and redirecting things. Because our hope can often get misplaced into things where it shouldn't be. And so some of those areas where you may have placed that, you know, maybe you can kind of take that to God and say, you know what, God, here it is. Plot out the best course in my life. Amen. And so maybe write them down. Maybe even share them with a friend or a family member. Whoever. Maybe share them with somebody. And if you're struggling with them, maybe they can come alongside and pray with you and hold you accountable. Hey, how's that going? Okay? And so share them with somebody. And so as you increase your regularity in the scriptures, I would encourage you to identify some of those areas where you've misplaced those hopes. And let God begin to continue to build and strengthen you in the areas that you need it. Amen? And so, we, as a new creation in Christ, you and I, we have been washed, we have been set free, and we have been redeemed. Amen? Amen. And so there is coming a day when the King will come back and redeem what is His. You and I. There is coming a day. And so I'm going to wrap up with prayer here. And so if you guys will stand to your feet with me, we're going to wrap up in prayer. We're going to pray. And at the end, I'm going to finish. I'm not going to say amen. Okay? And what I would like you to do is continue in your prayer for just a minute. Because we are going to share in communion together. And so I would encourage you at the end of my prayer for you guys that you would continue in your prayer and maybe ask God to cleanse you, forgive you of the sins you're aware of, sins you're unaware of, whatever. And then I'll give you a minute. And then Tracy's going to come forward and we'll begin communion. And we'll share in communion. And as we share in communion, there's a song that Marcus is going to begin for us. And so we'll partake of communion through that. And then we'll go back to our seats and we'll stand. And we will finish the song out and sing it together. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God of hope. Father, you are the God of hope. And to think about beautiful and amazing truth that just washes over us through your word. And so, Father, we pray for those here today who come and feeling hopeless, who might even be feeling hopeless right now. Father, I pray that you would give them the encouragement to look up, to be reminded about what your word says. That you are the God of hope. That you will fill them with joy and peace and believing. So by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will be abound in your hope, Father. That you are the one who supplies the hope. That supply is in you and it's in abundance, Father. I pray that you will fill us with your hope today. Father, I pray as a church we would be a church that is contagious, enthusiastic, and looking with expectancy in the future. Because the future is ours through Christ. And that future is glorious and beautiful. Because it's a future that's forever secure with you. And so, Father, we just thank you and praise you for the hope that is found in you and the forgiveness of our sins. So, Father, we just thank you and we just pray that you continue to bless the remaining time together. Name of Jesus. Amen. And so Jesus was with his disciples that night, and he took the bread and he blessed it and he said, "This is my body which is broken for you. As often as you do it in remembrance of me." And likewise, he took the cup, he blessed it, he gave thanks, and he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant which is poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. As often as you drink, do it in remembrance of me." And so when your hearts are clear, your minds are clear, and you're ready to receive the elements, Marcus is going to start that song and turn it down just a little bit, Marcus, if you would. And then we'll finish out singing this song together.
Yeah.
Such a beautiful song, and it's so true, you know. All we have to do is go to God just as we are. It's all he wants, because he can do the rest. So thank you for being with us as we kick off our first week of Advent. Keep in mind, next week is the dinner. If you haven't signed up to bring something, it would be beneficial if you did sign up, so we know what's coming. But other than that, guys, I hope you have a great week. Be blessed and be a blessing. Amen. Go in his power. Yes, Ralph.